Hollywood, California, we present Gene Herschel in another Dr. Christian story called Sweet Genevieve, brought to you by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. Few people realize what a truly remarkable organ the skin is. Take goose flesh, for instance. You know why it appears? It is the tiny muscles in the skin contracting to stop the loss of heat by the body. Helping to regulate body temperature is just one of the jobs your skin performs. It also helps get rid of waste material, and it is one of the body's best defenses against infection. When you realize how important your skin is, you can understand the great value of Vaseline jelly. For you can count on this little 10-cent jar to help take care of many minor skin troubles of the whole family. Cuts, burns, scratches, chafing, chapped skin, all respond to soothing Vaseline jelly. Vaseline jelly does three important things. It forms a protective film that helps to keep infection out when the skin is broken. It promotes healing, and it softens and lubricates the skin by supplementing the natural skin oils. If you haven't Vaseline jelly in your medicine cabinet, buy a jar or tube at your druggist tomorrow. You'll find Vaseline jelly is wonderful for literally dozens of everyday skin problems. The Dr. Christian story Gene Herschold has selected for you this evening is another story about beautiful Peg Foster, who has found happiness and activity again because our wise Dr. Christian arranged for her to get a guide dog from the Seeing Eye School at Morristown, New Jersey. Gloria Holden will again be heard in the role of Peg. As the curtain rises, we find Peg and Joe Hardy sitting on the steps of Peg's home in the moonlight. The faithful Mara, Peg's dog, lies silently beside her.
You know how pretty you are in that white dress.
Oh, it's the moonlight that makes me seem that way.
How do you know there's moonlight?
Oh, I can just feel it. The air so soft and summery, and the flowers in Mother's garden smell sort of special. It would just have to be moonlight.
Well, you're right. It is. But that isn't what makes you look so wonderful. Something's come into your face, dearest, in the past few weeks. A sort of eagerness.
It's because I feel alive again, Joe. You've no idea how grand it is to be doing things again. Myra and I went across the river today, didn't we, Myra? Oh,
what did you do across the river?
You really want to know?
Oh, yes, of course.
I gave a piano lesson to Billy Horton.
Peggy, you didn't.
I did.
How did it go?
Joe, it went marvelously. I was terribly nervous at first. Of course, I have been practicing a lot ever since I got home, but this was the first lesson I've tried to give, and...
Peggy, why didn't you tell me you were going?
Oh, because I wasn't sure I could do it, Joe.
And now you know. Peggy, listen. I've waited a long time. When will you marry me?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On something I wasn't going to tell you yet. I wanted to surprise you when it was all decided. But Dr. Christian's so sure it's settled that it seems all right to count on it.
Count on what?
Count on... Well, I guess I'll tell you right out, Joe. Dr. Christian thinks they're going to take me on as a teacher at the Institute.
The Institute? You mean the McCary Institute of Music?
That's it. They need another teacher, and Dr. Christian's on the board, you know. Besides, several other people have recommended me to Mr. Reynolds, the director, too.
Oh, Peggy, that would be marvelous.
Wouldn't it? Well, I think it's going to happen. And when it does, Joe, well, then I'll know I'm really on my own and not a burden to anyone.
And then...
And then, Joe, if you want me, we'll be married.
If I want you. Oh, Peggy. Peggy.
Joe.
Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Reynolds.
Now come into my office a minute, will you? I want to talk to you.
Glad to. Something on your mind?
Yes. Dan McCary's here.
What? Old Dan McCary that founded this institute?
Dan himself.
What's he doing here? Well, he hasn't been back in this town for years. Spends his winters in Florida and his summers in Europe.
Do you know him well, Dr. Christian?
I used to, before he got so rich and took to wandering off all over the world. He was always a cranky sort. Some folks were afraid of him, but Jen, his wife, just... always laughed at him.
I have heard about her.
She was a fine musician. One of her hobbies was bringing good music to the out-of-way places. When she died, the Institute seemed a way to carry out her wishes.
Well, Dan McCary's been a generous contributor. He's practically kept the place running. We couldn't get along without him, Dr. Christian.
No. Mr. Reynolds, what's the matter? There's something on your mind. You didn't ask me in here to hash over a lot of ancient history about Dan McCary.
No, I didn't. Dr. Christian, Dan McCary's on the warpath.
Yeah, who's he going to scalp?
You, me, everybody on the board.
What we do?
Somebody told him about Peggy Foster, that we were considering her as a new teacher, and he's gone crazy. He won't have her.
I'm afraid I don't understand, Mr. Reynolds. What's he got against Peggy?
Nothing, except that she's blind.
Oh, but the girl's counting on it. She's a good teacher. How can there be any question?
There isn't any question about her ability.
Oh, well, then you'll appoint her anyhow, Mr. Reynolds, huh?
How can I?
Well, you're the director of the Institute.
But Dan McCary is the founder and our chief support.
Jumping Jupiter, what do you have to come home just now for?
Well, it doesn't seem fair, but we can't go against his wishes.
We've got to go against his wishes. Dan McCary hasn't any right to...
Dan McCary hasn't any right to what? I thought I heard you mention my name, Paul Christian.
Oh, you certainly did. How are you, Dan? Welcome home.
You didn't sound very welcoming. What have I done?
Well, you upset my plans a little. We were talking about the appointment of the new teacher, and I was just saying
that... I hadn't any right to object. Was that it? Well, I do object.
Well, she's a fine teacher, Dan, and a brave girl. This was meaning a lot to her.
I don't doubt it. But I've told Mr. Reynolds that if the board is crazy enough to put some teacher who can't see on the staff, I'll withdraw my entire support. I'm sending a memorandum to that effect.
Dan, haven't you any sympathy in your heart? Any understanding?
I got understanding enough, but there's places for people like that. Let her go to them.
Places for what people?
She's blind, isn't she? This is an institute of music and not a charity home, Paul Christian.
Our program will continue in just a few seconds. But first we're going to hear from a young man with a story that ought to interest most of the women and the husbands of those women who are listening tonight.
A few weeks ago, I was joking about the careful way an old school friend of mine combed his hair over his bald spot. And my wife said, "Well, it's high time you were a little more careful about your hair. It's dry as hay, and I've noticed dandruff scales on your coat lately." That night, I bought a bottle of Vaseline hair tonic on my way home. I used it regularly as directed to massage my scalp before each weekly shampoo. I brushed a few drops on my hair every morning, too, and already I've noticed a real improvement. Vaseline hair tonic treatments certainly give quicker and better results than anything I've ever tried.
Vaseline hair tonic is a favorite with literally thousands upon thousands of men. Some prefer it because it has no strong odor. Others because it serves both as a tonic and a dressing for the hair. And to men who have a dry scalp condition, Vaseline hair tonic is famous as the tonic that contains no drying ingredient and helps to supplement the natural scalp oils. Why not give this different tonic a try? Get a bottle at your druggist tomorrow. Vaseline hair tonic comes in shaker top bottles at 40 and 70 cents. We return you now to Jean Hersholt's Dr. Christian drama to hear the rest of the story of blind Peg Foster, refused an opportunity to teach piano in the McCary Institute of Music. As the scene opens, the doctor is sitting at his desk talking to Joe Hardy.
Dr. Christian, isn't there any chance of Peggy's getting that appointment?
I wanted to have it just as much as you do, Joe. You've done everything we can think of, but old Dan just won't listen to us.
But to turn her down without even knowing her, without hearing her play, can't you get him at least to talk to her? I'll bet she could convince him in no time.
He doesn't want to be convinced. He's taking a stand now and he can't back out of it.
It's just plain meanness.
No. No, it's stupidity. Dan McCary's idea of a blind person is a beggar with a tin cup. He can't see blindness as something which can be met and overcome. He insists that dog guides are nonsense. Why, he doesn't know the first thing about a seeing eye dog.
Then it's hopeless?
It looks that way. Did you see Peggy tonight?
I just came from there.
Is she pretty upset?
She didn't say much, except that she was going on with her lessons just the same. And that this experience had convinced her that she could never really overcome her handicap. And that she wasn't going to marry me.
Oh, Joe, that's too bad.
Dr. Christian, I love Peggy so much. Can't you think of some way?
Well, Joe, I'll do a little figuring, but...
How am I going to stand it? What am I going to do?
There's only one thing you can do, Joe. Peggy must carry on with her lessons. And you must wait. ¶¶
Well, this is the block, Myra, and the Horton house is right along here someplace. I wonder if you'll remember. Oh, you do know the place, don't you? Good, Myra, good girl. All right, left, Myra. Well, here we are. Now, wait till I find the bell. There. Now you can have a rest while I give Billy his lesson.
Oh, Miss Foster, I was afraid you'd get here before Billy got back. I told him not to go swimming, but he said he could get over to the river and back again before time for his lesson.
Well, that's all right, Sarah. I'll come in and wait. I don't mind. Oh, it's such a warm day. Myra and I almost went swimming ourselves.
Swimming? Oh, Miss Foster, don't tell me you go swimming with that dog, too.
Well, of course I do. We love to swim, don't we, Myra? Well, we'll go into the library, Sarah, and you send Billy in as soon as he gets back.
Well, he should be along any minute now. Anything I can do for you, Miss Foster?
No, thanks. Myra and I'll have a little music while we wait. This is such a marvelous piano. I love having a chance to play it. Rest, Myra, rest.
Play awful nice, Miss Foster.
Thank you, Sarah.
Mr. Horton says there wasn't no better teacher in this part of the state than you.
That was nice of him.
Oh, there's the doorbell. Now, you make yourself right to home.
I want to see Mr. Horton. Is he at home yet?
Not yet, sir. Won't you come in and wait?
Thank you.
He will be here shortly, though. He comes home early these hot days. Would you like to go into his study? There's somebody in the library.
No, I'll sit here in the hall, if I may, and listen to the music. Oh, that's one of my favorite pieces.
Yes, sir. It's very pretty.
Young lady, do you object because I sneaked in here to listen to you play?
Why,
now, don't get up. Don't let me disturb you, please. Just go right on playing. It'll be a great favor.
Oh, I was just playing a little for my own amusement.
You have an excellent touch and you play with true feeling. My wife played like that.
Your wife?
Yes, she's dead now. Been dead for years. But I can still shut my eyes and see her at the piano, just the way you are.
Are you a musician?
Great guns, no. I can't tell one note from another. I tried to learn, but my wife said my fingers hit the keys like drumsticks. So she played and I listened. Pretty nice. It's been a long time since I've heard anyone play like you do.
You're very kind.
Young lady, would you be willing to come to my home and play for me once in a while?
Why, I think so. Yes, of course I would.
Strictly on a business basis, of course, and I'd pay you well. But it would seem good to see someone like you at the piano again. Someone who reminded me of Jen.
Oh, I'll be glad to come. I wouldn't want to be paid.
Oh, Miss Peggy, I'm sorry. Honest, I am. I didn't know it was so late. I ran all the way from the river, but Sarah says you've been waiting.
Well, that's all right, Billy.
I've been waiting to see your grandfather, young fellow. But I'll move into his study and let you get on with your lesson.
Oh, thank you. I suppose we really should get to work.
You will get in touch with me then? Here's my card.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you again for giving an old man a very real pleasure.
He gave you his card. Miss Peggy, didn't he know you can't see?
No, I don't believe he did, Billy. I sat at the piano all the time with my back to him, and I don't think he realized.
I'll bet he didn't.
Billy, can you read the card for me, dear? What does it say?
It's a calling card with his name on it. It just says Daniel McCarran.
Well, what is it?
McCarran has a young lady downstairs asking for you.
A young lady? What kind of a young lady?
Oh, pretty young lady. She brung a dog.
Ah, I don't know any pretty young ladies with dogs. Send her away.
Oh, begging your pardon, sir, but she said you asked her to come here. She wants to play the piano.
Play the piano? Oh, yes, yes, of course. I remember. Yes, I'll come down. I'll come down at once. Where is she?
She's in the music room, sir. She'll like to...
No. Don't bother. I'll tell her myself.
Thank you. good afternoon. So you're at the piano already, eh?
Yes, that was what you wanted me to do, wasn't it? Play for you?
Yes, yes. Ooh, is that your dog?
Yes, she's mine. Her name is Myra.
Nice, Myra. Nice girl. Oh, she's very friendly, isn't she?
She's the best friend I have, I guess.
That's a funny leash you've got on her. Couldn't you hold her with a regular leash?
Yes, but she couldn't hold me.
Oh. You're the one who's led, are you, huh? Your dog takes you for a walk.
Yes, she does.
I didn't see her at the Hortons the other day. Didn't you have her with you?
Yes, she was under the piano. She always lies there when I play.
You know, after I left you that day, I realized that I didn't even know your name. Turn around and let me look at you.
Oh, I'm not much to look at, and it was my playing you cared about. You see, I haven't a great deal of time today. What would you like to hear?
Well, will you play anything I ask?
Well, if I know it.
Now, young lady, if my wife had lived, I'd be celebrating my 50th wedding anniversary today.
Would you?
Yes, and there's one piece that she used to play that I'm mighty fond of. It's an old-fashioned tune. Maybe you've never heard of it. It's called Sweet Genevieve.
Sweet Genevieve? Oh, of course I know that. My mother used to sing it to me when I was little.
Well, I did McCourtin' to that song. My wife's name was Genevieve. Always called her Jen. And she used to sit at the old piano and play it for me.
Like this?
Oh, Genevieve, I'd give the world to live again with a lovely past. The rose of you.
I heard you sing that song, Jen. My wife was a wonderful woman. Always knew my mind a lot better than I knew it myself. I'm a mean old cuss since she went. And Jen was pretty, too. But she had wavy hair, something like yours. Wait a minute, I'll show you.
Oh.
Here's a picture of her that was taken the year we were married. Nice, wasn't she?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. McCary, but I can't see.
Well, turn it to the light. It is a little faded. There.
Oh, the light doesn't make any difference. I couldn't see the picture in any light.
You couldn't see it?
No, I'm blind, Mr. McCary.
Blind? Well, how could you be blind? You play the piano?
You don't have to be able to see to play the piano.
Oh, but if you're blind, how did you get here? Who brought you?
My dog, Myra. Don't you remember I told you she took me for a walk? She takes me wherever I want to go.
You mean you just go about alone with that dog?
Yes.
Well, I'll be... Well, I wouldn't believe it was possible. Young lady, what's your name?
What difference does it make?
It makes a lot of difference.
Why?
Because if your name is what I think it is, someplace Jen knows about all this, and she's laughing her pretty head off right this minute.
To see you.
Yeah, what's his name, Judy?
He won't give his name.
Oh, what's the matter with him?
He says nothing's the matter with him.
And he said you'd better see him or he'd kick the door down. It wouldn't be the first time he'd done it.
Hmm. Only one temper like that in this town. Must be Dan McCary.
Dan McCary? The man who's been making all that trouble about Peg Foster?
Yeah, the very same one. Wonder what's the matter now. Probably wants me to resign from the board because I talked back to him. Show him in.
Will you come in, please?
Yeah.
Well, Dan, what is it? Your liver? I told you it'd kick up someday if you kept on letting your disposition get the best of you.
My liver's as good as yours any time, and so's my disposition. And I didn't come here to discuss personalities.
Well, if you didn't come as a patient and you didn't come as a friend, what are you here for?
I'm here as the founder of the McCary Institute of Music. I've come to consult you as chairman of the board.
Very flattering of you, Dan. The last time I offered you advice, you were pretty specific about what I could do with it, so I won't make that mistake again.
Oh, but that was before I...
Listen here, Dan. If this is more about Peg Foster, I don't want to discuss it with you.
Well, it is about her.
You have refused even to consider a very talented young teacher for a position in your institute because she happens to be blind. I think you've been grossly unfair.
But, Paul, now
Peggy didn't want the position as a favor. All she asked was to be allowed to compete with applicants who had the sights. And you won't even give her a chance.
Now, listen, I
don't want to hear your excuses. You used to be a pretty decent sort of a person, Dan, in spite of your temper. But you've changed. You're just a mean, stubborn, narrow-minded, opinionated mule.
I know it.
What?
I said I know it. You're a doctor. What do you prescribe for it?
Why, I've known you a long time, Dan, but that's the first time I've ever heard you admit you were wrong. You must be sick.
No, I'm not sick. I've met Miss Foster.
You have?
Yes. And I found her to be what you said she was. Competent and self-reliant and a fine musician. In fact, everything we need in a teacher for the Institute.
You don't tell me.
I'll accept her in a minute, but...
But what?
Well, you see, Christian, I sent the board a memo in writing to the effect that if she is hired, I shall withdraw my support.
Well, what of it?
Good heavens, man, you don't expect me to reverse a decision, go to the board and say I was wrong?
Oh, you were wrong, weren't you?
Well, yes.
Then why not admit it?
Why, I...
You haven't the courage to admit you made a mistake. Is that it, McCary?
Well, not exactly, but in that memo to the board, I did express myself pretty strongly.
You certainly did. You made some reference to objects of charity.
I'm ashamed of myself, Paul. But you see, I was misinformed.
It was your own fault.
I know. What can I do?
Well, you might write another memo strongly favoring the appointment. There's a meeting of the board of directors tomorrow, you know.
Yes, but after the other one, what?
The other one? Oh, no one ever saw that but me.
No one saw it?
No. I ask that the matter of the appointment be postponed. I've got that memo here on my desk. I thought you might change your mind.
Are we at Dr. Christian's office, Mara?
Oh, I'm here in the study, Peggy. Come on in.
Mara, forward.
Here, sit down.
Mara, rest.
Where's your young man that he lets you and Mara run around alone like this?
Well, he's coming later, but I just had to come first to tell you. To tell you.
To tell me what, child?
Well, to tell you that... Well, Mr. McCary came to see me this evening.
Old Dan? What did he want?
Oh, don't pretend you know what he wanted. He came to tell me that I was going to get that appointment at the Institute.
Did he really? No, that's fine, Peggy. Old Dan's a hard man to convince, but... If he's for you, well, you will be running the Institute soon.
Oh, Dr. Christian, don't joke about it. Don't you realize what this means?
Of course I realize what it means. It means a fine position for you and wedding bells at last for Joe.
Dr. Christian, does it?
Well, wasn't that what you promised? That you got this position, you'd marry Joe?
Yes, but...
You're not thinking of going back on your word, are you?
Oh, I don't want to, but... Well... Did I really get this position on my merits, after all?
You certainly did. Peggy, what's the matter with you? Don't you want to marry Joe?
Oh, yes. But, Dr. Christian, have I got the right to? No matter how independent I am, no matter how much Mara frees me from relying on people, I'll still be blind. Do you think blind people ever have a right to marry Dr. Christian?
I think it's something everyone must decide for himself, child. Certainly, I think that with the love you and Joe have for one another and your fine spirit, you have every right to marry.
You're not saying that just to comfort me. You really, really mean it?
With all my heart.
Well, then I'm going to tell Joe I'll marry him right away.
Nothing could make me happier. I love you both, Peggy. And Mara, I think you'll make the perfect threesome. What do you think about it, Mara, old girl? You hear that, Peggy? Mara wants to be a bridesmaid.
You have just heard Gene Herschold's presentation of the Dr. Christian story, Sweet Genevieve. We'll bring the cast out for a bow in just a moment, and Mr. Herschold will tell you something about his plans for next week. Watch out for chapped hands at this time of year. If you rub a little Vaseline jelly on your hands at the first sign of chapping, you can keep the skin from getting sore and cracked. For Vaseline jelly soothes and helps to supplement the natural skin oils. It is these unique soothing and protective qualities that have made Vaseline jelly the most famous preparation of its kind in the world. It may be safely used even on children's tender skins, for Vaseline jelly contains no acids, no chemicals, no irritants of any kind. It has been refined until it is pure enough to eat, yet it costs only 10 cents at any drugstore. Look for the famous Vaseline trademark when you buy. It is your guarantee of purity. And ask your druggist, too, about the Vaseline specialty products. Vaseline carbolated jelly, Vaseline borated jelly, Vaseline camphor ice, and Vaseline lip ice. There are no finer products at any price. Now we know you want to meet the players in tonight's drama. Rosemary DeCamp plays Judy Price. Captain William Royal was Dan McCary. Gail Gordon played Mr. Reynolds. Barry Kroger was Joe Hardy. And other artists, Eric Burtis as Bill, the little boy, Joan Shea, and Georgia Simmons. Miss Gloria Holden, rising young film luminary, played the role of Peg Foster, the blind girl, and sang Sweet Genevieve. Miss Gloria Holden. And now, here is Gene Herschold, star of this series, in the role of Dr. Christian. Dr. Christian, what kind of drama have you selected for us for next week?
Next week is Christmas week, and I'm going to tell you something that happened last Christmas. The story is called Danny Gets Married, and I know you'll enjoy it. Until next week, then, I'll say good night.
Be sure to join us next Tuesday night at this hour to hear Gene Herschold in a new Dr. Christian drama called Danny Gets Married. Gene Herschold appears on this program through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox. Arthur Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.